Sefer Tehillim. This is shiur number 62. We are using the Be'am Lois as the commentary. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to this shiur online, or any of our hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. The entire series of Tillim was sponsored by an generous anonymous person online. You can too become a sponsor if you'd like. For only $36, you can sponsor any Sefer you want, up to 12 lessons for $36 in memory of your beloved ones. We are holding in chapter number 113, Pasuk 3. Mimizrach shemesh ad mevo'o mehulo shem Hashem. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Hashem is praised. The singer now explains the difference between praising Hashem and blessing Him. When He performs a miracle for the people as a whole, His praise and acclaim are evident among men everywhere on earth, east and west. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Hashem is praised. Accordingly, they need only bless Him. Notwithstanding that they worship the sun and the moon, they believe that Hashem is the first cause. There is no mention of north and south, for there is no human habitation at the earth's poles. The Torah writes, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, My name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is burned and sacrifices are offered to My name." Is found in Malachi. What this means is that even to those who worship the stars and constellations, who err by calling them gods without God and ascribe divinity to them, God's name is very great. Hence the Torah says here, the name of Hashem is praised. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages. From Sidon to Carthage, they know the people of Israel and their Father in heaven. From Sidon westward and from Carthage eastward, they know neither Israel nor their Father in heaven. Reb Shimon bar Ashi asked Rava, "But is it not written, 'For from the rising of the sun to its setting, My name is great among the nations'?" The other replied that they call Him God of gods. That is, they acknowledge that He is God, but they do not acknowledge divine providence. They say that He passed on His divinity to the gods below. In opposition to this view, contrary to those who say that His glory is over the heavens only, but the earth He placed under the dominion of the ministers, the Torah says here, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Hashem is praised. Who is like Hashem our God, that is enthroned on high, that looks down low upon heaven and upon the earth? We have already referred to the subtle interpretation, from the rising of the sun to its setting, in times of success and in times of descent, the name of Hashem is praised. The following words of our sages have been explained based on that interpretation. When one bows down during prayer, one bows at blessed be, and when one straightens up, one stands upright at the Lord. That is to say, whether one is in a condition of suffering and bending low, or whether one has well-being and stands upright, one stands up at Hashem. A person is not to ascribe well-being to his own power. Let him stand up at the mention of Hashem's name, and let him praise the name of Hashem. The sages have also adduced from here that if one recites the Hallel in reverse order, he does not fulfill his duty, for it says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, just as it is not possible to reverse the pattern of sunrise and sunset, so it is for the order of Hallel. Our sages have said further, from the time the sun rises until it sets, it exalts praise for Hashem. Thus we find in the time of Yeshua that when He wanted to halt the sun, He did not say, "Let the sun stand in Givon." He said, "Let the sun be silent in Givon," as we see in Sefer Yeshua. For so long as the sun exalts, it has the power to keep moving. There is a hint to the following teaching of the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Let man raise his eyes to heaven and say in his heart, Who has created all these? The sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations, the four geographical directions and all the works of creation. Who has arranged that they all rise and set in compliance with the will of their Creator? Let him also rise early to meet the dawn with words of Torah, and at all times obey the will of Hashem. Let him be like the sun and the moon that provide light for the many. In accordance with the above teaching, one can explain the pasuk from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of Hashem is praised as follows. Through study of the sunrise and sunset, one comes to praise Hashem. Pasuk 4. Rama kogoyim adonori alashmaim kevodo. Hashem is high above all nations, His glory is over the heavens. Even as the Hashem is high above all nations, so His glory is over the heavens. For they offer praise and recount His glory, as it says, the heavens declare the glory of Hashem, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. A related interpretation says, Hashem is high above all nations, and hence the nations should exalt Him. Nonetheless, His glory is over the heavens. The host of heaven fathom more and know better than do those below how to exalt Him and proclaim His praise. Some say, although His glory is over the heavens, Hashem is high above all nations in His deeds and revealed acts. The present pasuk is also explained based on the difference between Ram, high, and Gadol, great. The term great pertains to one who stands below, yet reaches higher than everyone. But high pertains to one who stands on a lofty place, and so he's higher than another. Thus, it is explained that Hashem is in the category of high among the nations. For they say that He is God over gods, but He does not supervise those below. In contrast, it says Hashem is great in Zion. We learned this previously in Tehillim. The Jewish people believe in Hashem's supervision over those below. Hashem is high above all the nations. Accordingly, it says here, Hashem is high above all nations. His glory is over the heavens. But in truth, who is like Hashem our God, that is enthroned on high, that looks down low upon heaven and upon the earth? As we'll learn right now in Pasuk 5 and Pasuk 6. Pasuk 5. Ki Hashem Elokeinu HaMagbil LeShabbos. Who is like Hashem our God, that is enthroned on high? Pasuk 6. Mashpila liros b'shamayim b'oritz, that looks down upon heaven and upon the earth. Speaking about divine supervision, the Torah says, who is like Hashem our God, that is enthroned on high, though His place is in heaven, that looks down low upon heaven and upon the earth? His eyes roam all over the earth. He descends to extend His supervision over the earth. Because He is enthroned on high, in relation to His greatness, there is no difference between those creations above and those below. For the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, as found in Divrei Yom. No wonder that He looks down low upon heaven and upon the earth. Thus the Torah says, you have seen the wonders of Hashem all your life to this day, and you considered in your heart to stand against those who strive to make you sin by declaring, who has seen me? A pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. For Hashem, He is God, who has not passed over His dominion to any other. He is God in heaven above and upon the earth below. There is no other, like it says in Chumash Devarim. That is to say, His supervision on earth is not something other. Even as His supervision extends on high, so it extends below. Another reading says, that raises on high, that brings down low to see in heaven and upon the earth. The congregation of Israel says, Hashem elevates us and also brings us low. For it is His wish to raise us from the abyss of the earth to the height of heaven, and to manifest the rule of heaven in the world. The Hallel was instituted for every future distress, for it casts a new light wherever there is darkness. Thus the term Hallel connotes light, as in the pasuk that says, Bahalu Nero Olai Roshi Leoru Elech Choshech, when this candle shone, Bahalu, upon my head, and when my
and when by his light I walk through darkness, the pasuk that's found in Iyov, the first letters of the words Hamagbi'i, Lo Shoveth, Hamashpili Liros, spells hollow. This indicates that Hashem should be praised both for the good and for the bad. According to the Medrash, David says here, what has caused me to see all the lands, Arzos? It is because I made myself low. Pasuk 7. Mekimi me ofor dol me ashpos yorim evyon, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill. The singer presents two testimonies for divine providence. One is that Hashem raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill. A pauper will at times be so debased by poverty that he embraces a dunghill. Then Hashem lifts him up high and exalts him. Even if a man is fated to be poor, Hashem raises the poor from the dust. That pertains to possessions. As regards personal stature and honor, here too, he lifts up the needy from the dunghill. To be cast on the dunghill where only beasts go to leave their excrement is the most shameful condition possible. But even from there, Hashem elevates the pauper to the very highest honor. This also pertains to one's spiritual condition. If one is naked of mitzvahs and poor in merit, Hashem raises him from the dust of his coarse existence. If a man who is befouled by sin desires to liberate himself from this condition, being profoundly shaken by weeping and remorse, Hashem lifts him up. He will set him with princesses, a reference to the others, place him even with princesses of his people near the prophets, as we'll learn in the next pasuk. A subtle interpretation says, who raises the poor from the dust when one is debased and brokenhearted? That is the reason the Almighty raises him. He lifts up this needy one from the dunghill. He raises him from spiritual debasement. Another subtle interpretation says, the people of Israel are not redeemed until they fall to the lowest condition. Thus it says here, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill. The poor man has fallen into poverty, way down to the dust. The needy man craves for all the things that he lacks. He searches on the dunghill for a morsel of food, an allusion to the western wall. Who raises from the dust and lifts up from the dunghill? David HaMelech, King David, foresaw by prophetic vision what the Gentiles would do to the western wall in the future. In the days of Sultan Solomon, the location of the Beis HaMikdash was unknown. He issued instructions to find it. A search of Jerusalem brought no results, however, and the man in charge of the search was resigned to failure. One day he noticed a woman carrying a basket full of garbage on her head. In response to his question where she was heading, she identified herself as being from Bethlehem. Is there no place between here and Bethlehem for dumping garbage, he asked. It's a tradition with us, she answered, that anyone who comes here to dump his garbage performs a good deed. The official pondered her and replied, behold, there is something in this. He conscripted a large number of people whom he ordered to start removing the garbage. Soon the holy site was revealed, and the official informed the Sultan. The Sultan rejoiced greatly. He commanded that the site be treated with great reverence, and instructed that the wall be scraped clean and washed with water smelling of roses. When we merit that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the following pasuk will come true, that he may set it with princesses, even with princesses of his people. As we're going to learn right now in Pasuk Ches.
Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Lo Shivi im the Divim im the Divei Amo. That he may set him or it with princesses, even with princesses of his people. The singer continues, not only does Hashem raise them from the dust, he may set him with princesses, even with princesses of his people. He elevates them and sets them among princesses, indeed among the princesses of his people, among the most exalted princesses. Some say it is the way of flesh and blood that when a pauper rises to greatness, he transfers his residence to another location. There the people do not know that he was once poor. Thus it says here that Hashem elevated this poor man and set him with princesses, even with princesses of his people. Pasuk 9. Moshivia keres habayis eim habanim smecha aluyo, who makes the barren woman to dwell in her house as a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah, praise Hashem. Earlier the Torah presented one testament to a divine providence. Here it presents an additional testament, namely, he makes the barren woman to dwell in her house. A barren woman does not give birth, but Hashem makes her to dwell in her house by giving rise to an esteemed dynasty. At the outset, the barren woman is despondent. Now she is a joyful mother of children. This did not happen by chance. Behold the case of the Imohos, the matriarchs. Recall Chana, mother of the prophet Shmuel, referred to the wife of Manoach as found in Sefer Shoftim. Therefore, hallelujah, praise Hashem. Some explain that house here means the womb, which in the barren woman is close to childbearing. There is no healing for her except by the word of Hashem. If found worthy, she will be called upon to bear not one but many sons. She will thus avoid spoiling an only child for fear that discipline would make her suffer. As a result, she will be a joyful mother of children who grow up to be splendid individuals. She will be a joyful mother of children not only because she will bear sons, but because she will derive happiness from them. They will be learned and upright. The extra letter in the word Moshivi, the Yud, emphasizes a great wonder. A barren woman will be capable of bearing up to 10 children. The numerical value of Yud is 10. Likewise, the Torah refers to an entire people as a Korah. A barren woman, as in Sing, O barren one, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Hence it says here that the Almighty will make her dwell in her house. That is, He will increase her children until the home is fully settled. Then she will be called a joyful mother of children. Up to the present time, the congregation of Israel has suffered the travel of exile, having to dwell in holes and crevices. But from now on, she will be in her house. At the redemption, the matron will come back to her palace. Zion is now a barren woman, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. But she will become a joyful mother of children. As it says, for as Zion suffered, so she gave birth to her children. And it also says, for more are the children of the desolate one than the children of the married. And it says, then you will see and be filled with light. The present pasuk also alludes to Rachel. At the redemption she will rejoice, in contrast to weeping for her children in exile, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Our sages, our Chachamim, referred the present pasuk to Sora as well as to Chana. There is a difference of opinion among our Chachamim about the length of the hallel to be recited during the first part of the Pesach Seder. The house of Shammai say that it is recited up to a joyful mother of children, the last pasuk of the present Psalm of Tehillim. The house of Hillel say that it is recited up to the end of the following psalm, the flint into a fountain of waters, as we'll learn in the next chapter. Then the redemption is mentioned. Chapter 114, Pasuk 1. B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzroyim b'es Yaakov mi'am lo'ez. When Israel came forth out of Egypt, the house of Yaakov, from a people of strange language, Pasuk 2, Hoyso Yehuda lekotroi Yisrael mamshilosof. Yehuda became his sanctuary, Israel is his dominion. The present psalm is linked to the foregoing psalm, which says, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill. A telling instance is when Israel came forth out of Egypt, the house of Yaakov, from a people of strange language. The Jews were in a condition of utter debasement, but then Hashem redeemed them and set him with princesses. When did this take place? It was when Yehuda became his sanctuary. The present psalm also clarifies what the Torah said earlier. Hashem is high above all nations, that looks down low upon heaven and upon the earth. The exodus of the Jews from Mitzrayim shows that Hashem extends his supervision over those below. Thus, the present psalm describes the miracle of the sea splitting. Israel came forth from the midst of the Egyptians, who spoke a strange language. The Egyptians did not speak in the holy tongue. The men are called here Israel, and the women are called the house of Yaakov. Yehuda became his sanctuary. The Jewish people were set apart to become a holy nation, as it says in the Chumash Shemot, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Thus Israel is his dominion. The people of Israel will be under the rule of Hashem. or else the latter refers specifically to the tribe of Yehuda. It was worthy enough to be granted kingship. This because they were the first to leap into the sea. Hashem said, the one who sanctified my name in the sea will come to rule in Israel. Everything depends on the leader heading the people. If a ruler listens to lies, all the servants are wicked, as the pasuk is found in Mishle. If the priest's lips keeps knowledge, they should seek Torah at his mouth. The pasuk is found in Malachi. Here too the Torah says, because Yehuda became his sanctuary, as a result, Klal Yisrael is his dominion. The Jews overruled their base instincts and followed Hashem into a land that was not planted. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. When at the Exodus the house of Yaakov departed from a people of strange language, they were saved from becoming like the other peoples. Some relate the words B'tzeis mi'am lo'es to motzi las, gossip mongering. The Egyptians wanted to slander the Jews, to say that they were unchaste. They said, if we were masters over them, surely we were masters over their women. The Torah testifies to the contrary, that Yehuda became the sanctuary. This refers to Elisheva, the tribe of Yehuda, the wife of the revered Aaron, whom she helped become the most saintly of men. What is more, Israel is his dominion. There was not a single tribe that did not produce kings and judges of pure lineage. Indeed, Hashem himself testified by his name that the Israelite women were devout and kept themselves chaste. As it says, a garden locked is my sister, my bride, a pasuk found in Shir HaShirim. A people of strange language, the Jews came forth from the midst of a people that did not understand their tongue. Thus it is written in Chumash Devarim, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. The Jews dwelled among the Egyptians for a long time. Some among them probably understood the Egyptian language since they came in contact with them. Others never left their reserved district. The land of Goshen spoke only to the Hebrew tongue. The Torah reveals, however, that even those who came forth to mingle with the Egyptians and spoke their tongue, spoke Hebrew among themselves. The Jews departed out of a fierce people. The Egyptians were a harsh people, and their king was harsh, as it says in Chumash Devarim, he brought you out with his mighty power out of Egypt. Some explain the Egyptians are called Am Loaz because of their arrogance. They ridiculed and slandered every other people. Similarly, Rashi explains Am Loaz by relating Loaz to Noaz, daring. This is said of a people of obscure speech, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Israel came forth out of Egypt due to the house of Yaakov and the merit of the Israelite women. Some say that the Jews were corrupted in Mitzrayim, but at the Exodus, when Israel came forth out of Mitzrayim, the house of Yaakov from a people of strange language, Yehuda became his sanctuary. The Jewish people returned to their original sanctuariness, just as Yehuda himself had earlier sanctified Hashem's name in the episode involving Tamar. By admitting his responsibility, so the Jews sanctified his name by entering into the sea. It was in reward for four things that Israel came forth out of Mitzrayim. One, they did not change their name. They were still Israel. Two, they did not change their spoken tongue. The language of the Egyptians among whom they lived was still a strange language to them. Three, they are called here the house of Yaakov, for like Yaakov with the sheep of Laban, they were careful not to commit theft. Four, they were on guard against morality. In this respect, too, they were like Yaakov, who called his eldest son the beginning of my strength. Our Chachamim have expounded, when the Israel came forth out of Mitzrayim, that is our grandfather, the patriarch Yaakov. The Holy One took hold of Yaakov's legs and placed them upon the sea. He said to him, behold the miracles that I perform for your children. Rav Huna says in the name of Acha, there he placed the legs of all the others. Pasuk 3. Hayom ro'o vayonos hayarden yisof l'ochor. The sea saw it and fled. The yarden turned backwards. Speaking figuratively, the singer says that it was as if the sea saw something and fled in fright, as did the yarden river. The sea saw the divine presence and fled. it split apart. The Yarden River too saw the divine presence and it turned backwards. Figuratively it says that the sea saw the Jews and it fled for their sake. The Yarden too turns backward when they cross the Yarden River. Some explain they actually saw the sea recede before them as they crossed it. The Medrash says the sea saw. What did it see? Rabbi Yehuda says that it saw the staff of Moshe. Rabbi Nechemya says that it saw Hashem's name engraved on Moshe's staff and it did not respond. Then it saw the Holy One and it fled, as it says, the sea saw and it fled. Hashem will do the same thing in the future, as it says, the mountains and the hills will break out before you in singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. A pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. The Medrash says, what is the connection here to the Yarden River? What does it care? Were the Jews standing in the Yarden? Rather, you can learn from here that when the main work of art by the Creator fled, then all the works of art fled. When the sea fled, all rivers fled. Note that the sea fled, but the Yarden turned backwards, for the sea has no source and it flows in all directions. But the Yarden has a source, and when it flees back to its source, the waters no longer flow. Thus we find that when the Yarden split, as we find in Sefer Yeshua, the waters fled backwards and stood like a single heap. The sea saw. Some say that the sea actually understood or felt what was happening. Similarly, it says the donkey saw the angel in Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Balak. Pasuk 4. Ha'horim raktu ha'elim gevo'os kivnei tzon. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like young sheep. When the Torah was given to the Jewish people at Sinai, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like young sheep. Thus it says in Chumash Shemos, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Possibly this also alludes to the going out from Mitzrayim, for when the sea split apart, so did the nearby mountains. They roared with a mighty roar. Alternatively, this is a figurative reference to the kings in the region, or to Paru and his ministers. The mighty quaking of the mountain is likened to rams skipping. The quaking of the lesser hills is likened to the skipping of young sheep. This all attests to Hashem's transcendent greatness. The sea and the Yarden River quaked before the presence of his strength. The mountains skipped like rams and the hills skipped like young sheep. Pasuk 5. Malacho hayom kisonus hayarden tisof l'ochor. What ails you, O sea, that you flee, O Yarden, that you turn back? It is as if the singer asked them to explain their behavior. The answer comes, I, the earth, trembled at the presence of Hashem like a slave perspiring in trepidation before his master at the presence of Hashem of Yaakov. Some say that the question is addressed to the Yarden River. Granted that the sea fled because it beheld Hashem, but you, O Yarden, and all the primordial waters, what ails you that you flee? The answer is, lest the nations of the world say there was local reason for the strange behavior of the sea. The Torah says, at the presence of Hashem, at the presence of the God of Yaakov, everyone should know that it is within his power to turn the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Chapter 114, Pasuk 6. Hehorim tekerdu ha'elim yevo'os kivnei tzon. O mountains that skip like rams, O hills like young sheep. Do not be astonished at these miracles of the sea and the mountains having skipped, for he also turned the rock and the flint into water. To transform these hardest of all compounds of the earth element into the water element is a greater miracle than splitting the sea. The latter did not involve changing the element of water into another element. At that time, Hashem wanted to bring the Jews directly into the land of Israel. For even as he created the world, as it says, tremble, O earth, at the presence of Hashem, the earth quakes, as we're going to learn this in the next passage, the earth quakes at the word of Hashem. So he gave us the land. Accordingly, the waters receded to make it possible for Israel to enter the land of Israel. Pasuk 7. Milifne Odon Chuli Oretz Milifne Elokai Yaakov. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of Hashem, at the presence of the God of Yaakov. Another possible interpretation is that the earth asked of the sea in the Yarden River, what ails you, O sea, that you flee, O Yarden, that you turn back? The answer was, tremble, O earth, as we do at the presence of our Creator. For if He could make the sea into dry land, so can He make it of the earth water. Thus He turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. As we're going to learn right now, Pasuk 8. Hahofchi Hatsur Hagam Moyim Chalomish Lamaynoi Moyim. Who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. They said further, tremble, O earth, in the presence of Hashem. They did not flee before Moshe, but they fled at the presence of Hashem, who then appeared over the sea. They fled at the presence of the God of Yaakov, the choicest of the Avos. Likewise, tremble, O earth, at the presence of Hashem, who made me, who turned me into a pool of water, after He had made me into a rock. The latter alludes to the sweet waters that He drew out of the rock at the Sea of Suf, as found in Chumash Shemos. Some explain that Hashem revealed to the mountains and the hills that He would hasten the end of the Egyptian bondage ahead of the 430 years. Therefore they rejoiced, skipped like rams. Rocks were turned into water, a coarse substance was transformed into a fine substance, but not so the sea, which became dry land. A fine substance was turned into a coarse substance. Accordingly, the sea fled in dread, but the mountains skipped joyously. Thus the Torah asks, what ails you, O sea, that you flee, O Yarden, that you turn back? These are signs of rebelliousness. On the other hand, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like young sheep. So the question is asked of them, what ails you, mountains, that you skip like rams, or hills like young sheep? We learned this two psukim earlier. The answer is, tremble, O earth, at the presence of Hashem, at the presence of the God of Yaakov. He turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Now we go to chapter 115, pasuk 1. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu ki lishimcha tein kavod al chastocha al mitecha. Not to us, O Hashem, not to us, but to Your name give glory, for Your loving kindness and for the sake of Your truth. In the present psalm, the singer asks for a divine mercy for the Jewish people. Hashem should bring them forth out of their troubles and bless them. He says, it is not to us, not for our sake, that I stand here to entreat You, for we lack the good deeds to deserve it. We entreat You for Your sake. To Your name give glory, for Your loving kindness and for the sake of Your truth. If You will not save us, Your name will be profaned among the nations. Thus he goes on to explain in the following pasuk, why should the nation say, where is now their God? As we're going to learn in the next pasuk. For Your loving kindness and for the sake of Your truth, loving kindness and truth are the two attributes of divine mercy. Indeed, You promise that when we are in distress and return to You, You will send us Your deliverance. As found in Chumash Devarim, the singer foresaw the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, and he prays here for deliverance from what will happen subsequently. To Your name give glory in exile. The deliverance will not be ours, but for Your name. Thus we find that after Nebuchadnezzar's dream was interpreted for him, he acknowledged Hashem as God, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Daniel. Some say for Your loving kindness to Israel, and for the sake of Your truth that You wrote in the Torah, as found in the Chumash Devarim. But if from there you will seek Hashem your God, you will find Him. In Golus, in exile, there are three evils: profanation of Hashem's name, increase in the might of the nations and the influence of their idolatries, and the weakening of faith among some of the Jewish people. Accordingly, the singer asks first, not to us, O Hashem, not to us, but to Your name give glory. The name of Hashem should not be profaned among the nations. Furthermore, act for Your loving kindness and for the sake of Your truth. Even as the miracles You performed in Mitzrayim were for the sake of Your name, not to us, do the same now, even if not on account of our merits. Even as you extended loving kindness to our forefathers in Mitzrayim, do the same for us in every generation. If we are not worthy of it, act for the sake of your name. Not to us is said twice for emphasis. Concerning this matter, there is a dispute among our sages. One view is that it pertains to our subjugation by other kingdoms. Some maintain that this was uttered by Moshe and the Jews when they stood at the sea. Others hold that it was said by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah inside the fiery pit. Still another opinion is that it was said by Mordechai and Esther. Pasuk 2. Lama yomru hagoyim ayeinu aleheyem. Why should the nation say, where is now their God? Having said to your name give glory, that is Hashem's name, should not be profaned, the singer says, why should the nation say, where is now their God? Where is their God who always supervises his people Israel and who brought them out of Mitzrayim? The singer here adopted a line of argument followed by Moshe, who said, why should the Egyptians say, because Hashem was not able to bring his people into the land, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness? Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. Thus he says here, why should the nations say, where is now their God? That is, the nations believe in the miracles that God performed for the Jewish people in the past, but they think that his power is now exhausted, heaven forfend. Thus we find that Haman said to Ahasuerus, if it is not so, how is it that he allows other peoples to dance in his sanctuary? Even our concern that his name should not be profaned is not to us for our sake. For even if we are afflicted, we would not weaken in our faith. As it says, though you have crushed us into a place of jackals and covered us with a shadow of death, if we had forgotten the name of our Hashem, or spread forth our hands to a strange God. Rather, we beseech you because the nations will say, where is now their God? Pasuk 3, chapter 115, Pasuk 3. But our God is in the heavens, whatever pleased him he has done. Behold, their claim is false. Our Hashem is in the heavens, whatever pleased him then he has done, so will he do today. We are responsible for the divine presence having departed from the creatures below, and that our God is in the heavens. Nonetheless, from there his supervision over us continues in exile, and we will not perish, even though his supervision over us is not in evidence. In contrast to ancient times, it persists. The capacity of the nations to harm us has come from God. As it says, now I have given all these lands to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. This matter is explained by means of a parable. In a certain city, the mayor was appointed by the richest man in town. It happened once that the sons of these two men quarreled. Said one to the other, it is your duty to honor me, for am I not the mayor's son? Retorted the other, so what? Is it not my father who appoints the mayor? If he so wants, he can remove him from office. Similarly, the other nations arrogantly declare, our hand is high. A pasuk that is found in Chumash Devar. So the singer tells them, how is it that you are so boastful? Behold, our God is in the heavens. Whatever pleased him, he has done. If he wants, he will set you down to the very earth. Whatever pleased him, he has done. This is a preface to the condemnation of idols in the following pasuk. Although men can manufacture idols, they can only form their bodies. They cannot imbue them with spirit, soul, and senses. Not so for our God, who can do whatever he wants, and do so by his will alone. Pasuk 4. Atzabehem kesev bezohav masei de odom. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Having spoken of Hashem's greatness, the singer contrasts this with the base heritage of other peoples. They worship graven images, idols of silver and gold, the work of man's hands. Notwithstanding that the idols are made of precious metals, silver and gold, there is nothing to them, for they are the work of men's hands, and their maker is superior to what he makes. The idols are called here at Tzavim because they are a source of unhappiness, Otzav, and worry to their worshippers. When an artisan makes a vessel, silver and gold, he has produced something that is given a new name. But if he makes something in the form of a man, his efforts have not resulted in anything new. The product is called a man, since that shape does not possess human faculties. That is what the Torah says here. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. Even if the workmanship is perfect, it is still only silver and gold. What is more, if the idol worshipper is in need of money, he will sell his idols, so they always remain silver and gold. A related reason for calling the idols Asovim is that they bring unhappiness, ekev, and tragedy to those who call to them. The term also connotes toil, as in your labors, go to the house of a stranger. Those who worship idols expend much effort in their manufacture. Pasuk 5. Pa'alahem lo yidaber ve'inayim lahem lo yirum. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. Pasuk 6. Oznayim lahem lo yishmo'u af lahem lo yirichun. Ears have they, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Since they are the work of man's hands, they have mouths, but they speak not. For it is an artificial rather than a natural mouth. For the same reason, they have eyes, but they see not. The Torah mentions here four defects corresponding to the four failings listed in the pasuk. That your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. A pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. Even as they lack the power of speech and the power of sight, so also ears have they, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Pasuk 7. Yedeihem below yemishun, raglehem below yalechu, lo yegu bikronim. They have hands, but they handle, feel not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither do they speak with their throat. Besides lacking the faculties mentioned above, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither do they speak with their throat. They not only lack these powers, but their human form notwithstanding, neither can they utter a sound with their throat. The Torah does not include in here the term lohem. Literally, the pasuk reads, hands, but they handle, feel not, feet, but they walk not. Through trickery, one can make it seem that the idols move their hands and feet, which thus appear as their hands and their feet. However, there is no way to actually make the hands feel or the feet walk. Another reason for this omission reflects the following halacha. If one finds fragments of idols, it is permitted to make some use of them, but it is forbidden to derive any benefit from the form of a hand or a leg, because they are themselves objects of worship. In themselves, they are thus forbidden as idols, and not because they belong to idols. Accordingly, the pasuk reads, hands, but they handle not, feet, but they walk not, neither do they speak with their throat. These idols are more base than any living creatures. Animals can at least utter a sound, but these cannot do so. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Nebuchadnezzar placed the holy name inside the mouth of an idol and it spoke, but Daniel removed the name from its mouth, as it says, "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will take out of his mouth that which he swallowed." The pasuk is found in Yirmiyahu. Alluding to this matter, the present pasuk says, "Neither do they speak with their throat. Should they even speak, it will not be with their throat." Pasuk 8. Kemohem yu osehem kola shebetech behem. They who make them will be like them, yes, everyone who trusts in them. The singer curses those who make the idols. They who make them will be like them, yes, everyone who trusts in them. They will lose their powers, since they are so lacking in intelligence as to worship the work of their own hands. Although the makers of these idols do possess faculties, nevertheless they are like the idols they make, for they do not know how properly to make use of their faculties. Our sages teach, one who puts his trust in Hashem merits a corresponding thing, as it says in Yirmiyahu, "Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, and Hashem is his hope." But those who put their trust in idols, they who make them will be like them. When a man trusts in Hashem and relies on his will, and he does not want anything else but what God grants him, That very trust sustains the flow of life and the godliness towards him, for he has not set himself apart from the power of the giver. That is the meaning of Hashem is his hope. There rests upon him the presence of the one who brings everything into existence. But the evildoer, through his idol worship, removes the presence of holiness from himself, and he becomes like an idol. They also make them will be like them after their death. They will not be resurrected, just as the idols return to being inert matter, plant like wood and stone. Pasuk 9. Yisrael betach b'Hashem Ezrom meginim hu. O Israel, trust in Hashem, he is their help and their shield. Futile is the trust of those who trust in idols. Not so Israel, for they have in whom to trust, the rock of their deliverance, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. Therefore, O Israel, trust in Hashem. It is proper to trust in him, for it means to trust in the truth. He is their help and their shield at all times. Trust in Hashem, even when at times you do not immediately see the deliverance. Recall that he was their help and their shield in the past, and he will be so in the future. You are called Israel, for you are contented with Hashem, angels, and of men. Hence you are not to fear men, and no stellar configurations rule you. Therefore, O Israel, trust in Hashem. Although it may seem to you at times that the other idolaters are successful in what they do, know that this is but temporary. But our God, who truly helps Israel, is in the heavens, and he shields them forever. Some explain that he is their help and their shield refers to the other nations. When the nations are successful, it is not due to their own power, but because the Hashem helps them overcome Israel, as it says a pasuk in Chumash Devarim, unless their rock had sold them and Hashem had shut them up, but now he shields them from all the nations. Pasuk 10. Beis Aaron bitchu b'Hashem Ezram u'makinam hu. O house of Aaron, trust in Hashem, he is their help and their shield. Having said, O Israel, trust in Hashem, the Torah goes on to address the elect among the Jewish people, the Kahanim, the priests, and the God-fearing. O house of Aaron, trust in Hashem, so the masses will see you and do likewise. The house of Aaron means here the Levim and the Kahanim, the priests. The singer turns to them solely because they are close to Hashem. They stand before him in all times to perform the favorite service. Some say that those who fear Hashem refers to the Levim, who have always been God-fearing. Since they had the task of transporting the Ark, the Holy Ark, they were always in mortal danger for every error. Others say that this pasuk is referring to the Hashmonoims, the Kohanim priests who fought against the Greeks. The Torah tells them, trust in Hashem. He should deliver you from bondage. He is their help and their shield at all times. Pasuk 11. Yireh Hashem, bitchu b'Hashem, Ezram u'meginim hu. You who fear Hashem, trust in Hashem. He is their help and their shield. The singer directs himself especially to those who fear Hashem. They are neither Kahanim priests nor Levim who seclude themselves in the house of Hashem in devoted study. He says to them, trust in Hashem, he is their help and their shield. When he spoke of the community of Israel, he said in the singular form, O Israel, trust betach in Hashem. As we learned from the previous pasuk, but among the Kohanim, the priests themselves, and among those who fear Hashem, there are different levels of achievement. Hence he speaks in the plural form, trust, bitchun Hashem, instead of just betach. Concerning each of these categories, the singer says, he is their help and their shield. For every person is granted deliverance in accordance with his level of trust in Hashem. Pasuk 12. Hashem zechoronu yivorech, yivorech has beis Israel, yivorech has beis Aharon. Hashem, who has remembered us, will bless. He will bless the house of Israel, he will bless the house of Aaron. Having spoken of the community of Israel, the Kahanim, the priests, and the Levim, the single blesses them. The Torah says similarly in Mishlei, remembrance of the righteous man is for a blessing. And thus Hashem said to Avram, shall I hide from Avram, seeing that Avram will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. Having mentioned him, he blessed him. Thus it says here, Hashem, who has remembered us, will bless. This is the beneficent way of Hashem, that when he remembers us, he blesses us. The singer says, this is what the Hashem did for Avram, and so will I do here. Others interpret the double Yevorech, Yevorech, that both pertain to the Almighty as follows. Hashem brings the memory of us before him, and he blesses that memory. Once Hashem blesses the house of Israel, then the sons of Aaron will also be blessed, for they draw their sustenance from the rest of the Jewish people. He will bless those who fear Hashem, for any Kohen priest who is not sufficiently erudite in Torah learning is forbidden to partake of the priestly gifts offered by the rest of the Jewish people. Some explain that this includes a prayer for the third base of Mikdash. The singer says, Hashem, who remembered that we built the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash, will remember us to build the third base of Mikdash. He will bless the house of Israel, the multitudes. He will bless the house of Aaron, who will reign in the time of the second base of Mikdash. And in the future, he will bless those who fear Hashem, as we'll learn now in the next passage. Others read, Hashem will bless our males, Zechorenu. Pasuk 13, Yevarech Yirei Hashem Haktanim Imagdolim. He will bless those who fear Hashem, both small and great. Because the small have earned no merit of their own, they are blessed through association with the great. Regarding those who fear Hashem, there is no mention of house, unlike the house of Israel and the house of Aaron. Hence it is necessary to add here in more detail small and great. Some explain the small in excellence will be blessed together with the great in excellence, the great sages, the princesses, and the judges of the Sanhedrin. He will bless the house of Israel with the crown of royalty. He will bless the house of Aaron with the crown of priesthood, and he will bless those who fear Hashem with the crown of Torah. Because there are different levels of Torah knowledge, the Torah says, he will bless those who fear Hashem, both small and great. A subtle interpretation says, he will bless those small ones who are drawn after the great people. Similarly, the Torah says, and graze your kids by the shepherd's tents, a pasuk found in Shir HaShirim. Some identify the Levim as those who fear Hashem. He will bless both small and great among the Levim. Others say he will bless both those who have attained great stature and fear of Hashem and those who are small in comparison. As the Medrash says Hashem, let all of them be bound in one bundle and atone for one another. The small are of low stature, yet they are to be found together with the great. For this reason, their worth is not diminished in relation to those who are great. When lesser men are around greater men, this draws attention to them and brings condemnation. As the widow complained to Eliyahu, you come to me to call my sin to remembrance. The pasuk is found in Melachim Aleph. Pasuk 14. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem V'Abneichem. Hashem increase you and your children. Here the singer explains the nature of the blessing. Hashem will increase you and your children. By prophetic vision, the singer foresaw that the Jewish people would diminish numerically in the course of their long exile, their long galus. So he says to them in the form of a promise, be not afraid at being small in number, for Hashem will increase you and your children. Hashem increase your well-being with more well-being. The well-being so bestowed upon you will then overflow to affect your children with well-being, as it says, both small and great, or as Moshe said in his blessing, Hashem, God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are. Pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim, and thus affect your children as well. At first he blessed the fathers, declaring, Hashem, increase you. Then He blessed the children, repeating once again, you and your children. That is to say, also your children's children. He thus blessed three generations. This indicates a mighty increase to double their number. One will become two, two will become four, and four will become eight. Thus he says, literally, Hashem, increase you and double you again, you and your children. Our sages teach the measure of Hashem's increase is more than the thing itself. Accordingly, the prophets blessed Israel with increase. Moshe said, Hashem, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are. Regarding the future as well, it is written, Yeshayahu, Hashem will set his hand again the second time to acquire the remnant of his people. Increasing your children will also be important to you, for a man is happy when his children increase. Sometimes a man is also honored through his son being honored. Some explain the words that Hashem will increase you pertains to the house of Israel, and you and your children pertains to the house of Aaron. Blessed be you of Hashem pertains to those who fear Hashem. Pasuk 15. Beruchim atem l'Hashem osei shemayim boris. Blessed be you of Hashem who made heaven and earth. Your blessing does not stem from the pattern of the constellations, but from the source of blessings. Hence it is a perfect blessing. Blessed be you of Hashem who made heaven and earth. He continually keeps making the heavens and the earth, for he continuously renews the works of the beginning. May you be blessed with the blessing from above and from below, heaven and earth. Heaven and earth were created on account of the people of Israel. Thus our sages teach that their creation preceded the creation of heaven and earth. Pasuk 16. Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem v'oretz nosan lifnei Adam. The heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Having mentioned heaven and earth, the singer now describes some ways they differ. The heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The heavens are called the heavens of Hashem because none have dominion there except him. But the earth he has given to the children of men to rule, as it says, fill the earth and subdue it, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Although Hashem has made both the heavens and the earth, the rule of heaven belongs to him alone. Man has no task there, but the earth has been placed under man's rule. Similarly, it says, you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Human beings must realize that Hashem is the master, and they are appointees over the earth. Should he so desire, he will remove them and grant rule of the earth to others. A subtle interpretation says, even though the heavens are more precious than the earth, they were not granted freedom of action. But the earth was given to human beings, and their free will is possible. The heavens are the heavens of Hashem. There is no Satan, nor any other evil influence in the heavens, and the upper heaven of heavens. Thus everything there is pervaded by the glory of his kingship. His dominion is not meditated by those who dwell in the dust, as found in Sefer Yeshayahu. In contrast, the earth has he given to the children of men. They should make the earth belong to Hashem. Through the power of human worship, mankind should bring about the earth as Hashem's and the fullness thereof. Pasuk 17. Lo ha'meisim yahalluya ve'lo kol yordei duma. The dead do not praise Hashem, neither do any who go down in silence. Having said that the Jewish people are blessed of Hashem, the singer goes on to stress their obligation to praise and to acknowledge him as long as they live. Let them not look forward to thank him after death, for the dead do not praise Hashem, neither do any who go down into silence. Although the soul, after its separation from the body, offers praise on its own, that is an angelic kind of praise. The dead do not praise Hashem pertains to those who die after having completed their full years of life, neither do any who go down into silence pertain to those who die before their time. The Torah has said that the heavens are the heavens of the Hashem, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The previous pasuk lindis. Mankind should make the earth spiritual. Hence, this is not a task set for the dead, nor for those who go down into silence. The obligation rests upon us and who are servants of Hashem to bless Hashem from this time forth and forever, and thus rectify the earth. A subtle interpretation says, the heavens are the heavens of Hashem. If a man looks up to heaven, he will come to acknowledge Hashem. But the earth has he given to the children of men. If a man is occupied solely with matters of this earth, in the end, he will go the way of mortal man, die, and be buried. His grave will be on the earth, but such men are ready as dead. The dead do not praise Hashem, neither do any who go down into the silence. But we will bless Hashem from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. We're going to learn this hallelujah in the next pasuk. Our sages have taught, one pasuk says, the earth is Hashem and the fullness thereof. Another pasuk says, the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth has He given to the children of men, as in the previous pasuk. The answer to the seeming contradiction is that here, regarding the former, it is before one has recited a bracha, and there, regarding the latter, is after one has recited a bracha. The heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth has He given to the children of men, to perfected human beings who are called children of men. As our Chachamim, our sages have said, a son of man means a son of fine people, a son of righteous people, a son of benevolent people. He did not give the earth to the entire human species. The reason is that the dead do not praise Hashem. Those who are devoid of fine sensibilities do not know to praise Hashem for having given them food and drink and all other good things. But we will bless Hashem for each and everything, and as a result, the earth, the land, will remain ours. We will deserve it on account of the brachas that we recite. Similarly, David HaMelech said, King David, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Should God let us perish in exile? Who will utter the mighty acts of Hashem? And who will acclaim Him? Therefore has He blessed us, and He has remembered His covenant. For we will bless Hashem from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. A different interpretation says that the dead do not praise Hashem. It refers to the wicked, for they are called dead even when alive. Those who go down into silence refers to those who are cut off forever and ever. Chapter 115, Pasuk 18. Anachnu nevarech yom me'ata v'ad olam, hallelujah. But we will bless Hashem from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah, praise Hashem. The psalm concludes, but we will bless Hashem, He who are God-fearing and who know and acknowledge that He is the master of everything, the one who keeps us alive, we will bless Him throughout our lives. Thus the Torah says, from this time forth, meaning now as well as forever in the world to come, we will bless Hashem. Our souls will not perish, and we will thus bless Him for all eternity. So long as you live, you who fear God, bless Hashem. Hallelujah. The Torah emphasizes the great advantage to praise Hashem while we are in the land of the living. As our sages have said, better is 1 hour in this world than all the life in the world to come. A subtle interpretation says, let no man say, behold, I am full of sins, so how shall I stand up to pray? The main thing is to act now, from this time forth. Then one merits to say forever, hallelujah. Now we go to chapter 116, pasuk 1. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli tachanunoi. I love that Hashem may hear my voice, my supplications. In the present psalm, David depicts the power of prayer as entreaty. After he had prayed in this fashion a number of times, Hashem answered his supplication. As it says, I love that Hashem may hear my voice, my supplications. Why do I love my voice as supplication? For I know that God will then hear my voice. A person loves what is effective. At times one may ask for something, but not know which request is for his benefit. So he asks Hashem, I love that Hashem may hear my voice, my supplications. May He heed what is truly my voice, the voice that is deeply concealed within the hidden intent of my supplications. Pasuk 2. Ki to oznoi li v'yomai ekro. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him all my days. Because in the past he has inclined his ear to me when I entreated him with supplications, as was found in the previous pasuk. Therefore I will go so call upon him all my days. Some say that David composed this psalm when he fled from his son Absalom. That was after Achitophel's conspiracy against him was overturned by Hushai the Archite, and Yoav went forth to battle the people who were with Absalom. Although the dangers to his life was now past, David was not yet assured that he would regain his throne. This matter is also an instructive precedent for the Jews in Gullus, who were banished from their previous grandeur by harsh masters. If it had not been Hashem was for us, we would have headed for destruction. The singer foresaw by prophetic vision that in the future the nations of the world would say to the Jewish people, "Your prayers are in vain." Accordingly, he composed the present psalm, for he believed in perfect faith that his prayers would not come back empty-handed. Hashem will hear their voice and redeem them. The psalm opens with, "I love that Hashem may hear my voice, my supplications." That is to say, I love the Lord in the past because he heard my supplications and he will hear them in the future. Rav expounded, the congregation of Israel says before Hashem, "When am I beloved before you? It is when you hear the voice of my supplications." The congregation of Israel says before Hashem, "I am brought low, impoverished, and he saves me." As we'll learn in Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, "Master of the world, I am deficient in mitzvahs, yet am I yours? It is fitting that you save me. Hear my prayer, and thus let it become known to all living things how beloved I am. I am devoid of good deeds, yet am I beloved before you, for your glory is to favor with grace and to show loving kindness." According to our Chachamim, the sages, this entire psalm is about those of median attainment who are poor in mitzvahs. However, Hashem is abundant in loving kindness, and he extends loving kindness to save those who are impoverished in mitzvahs. The Medrash says, "Because he has inclined his ear to me, the ears on high are turned to nothing else but to hear my prayer." Thus it says, "You have cried, open my ears," and it says, "Incline your ear to me. I will call upon him all my days and all the holidays that you have given me." Thus it says regarding the Shabbos, "On the Shabbos day, on the Shabbos day, he will set an order before Hashem always." This is found in the Chumash Vayikra. And it says, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there will be a Day of Atonement. And it says, the 15th day of the 7th month will be the Feast of Booths. The explanation of these things is that there are three obstacles to lucid prayer: the weariness of work, pollution of the heart, and nagging thoughts about one's possessions, vineyards, and fields. Against these things, the Torah sets forth the days of the Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, when one's prayer is lucid and worthy of being accepted. The Medrash says, "I found trouble and sorrow, but I call upon the name of Hashem." We call forever upon your name, as it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we call upon the name of Hashem, our God." Pasuk 3. Afofuni chevle mavesu mitzore sh'ol mitzuni tzore ve'yogon emtso. Ropes of death have encircled me, and it confines the pains of the netherworld, the pit have seized me, I found trouble and sorrow. Ropes, pains of death have encircled me, and the pains of the pit have seized me. Another reading identifies with Sori Sheol as the confining boundaries of the pit. Thus, Bain HaMitzori means between the confines, as found in Sefer Eicha. Having said, "I will call upon him all my days," the singer goes on to say, "Even if the trouble is so terrible that there is no natural way for me to be saved, nonetheless I will pray and call upon the name of Hashem," as we'll learn in the next pasuk, "for he can save me." Our sages have taught, "Even when the blade of the sword rests upon his neck, a man must not cease trusting in Hashem's merciful intervention, as it says, 'Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him,'" a pasuk that's found in Iyov. Hence it says here, ropes of death, death-dealing agonies, have encircled me on every side, and pains of the pit have seized me. I am close to the boundaries of the grave, for such is my trouble and sorrow. Nevertheless, I call upon the name of Hashem. I beseech you, O Hashem, rescue my soul. Ravs of death have encircled me, and according to Rashi, this refers to the hordes of David's enemies preying on his life. According to the Medrash, David HaMelech feared being killed or killing others. Thus he says here, ropes of death have encircled me, I may be killed, the confines of the pit have seized me, I may kill others, so thus or thus I find trouble and sorrow. Pasuk 4, V'shem Hashem Ekra, honor Hashem, Malto Nafshi, but I call upon the name of Hashem, I beseech you, O Hashem, rescue my soul. When I was beset by troubles, I would call upon the name of Hashem. I would call out, I beseech you, O Hashem, rescue my soul. I would say, at this time, I do not ask for reward or for vengeance upon the wicked. I ask mainly that you rescue my soul. The term honor is an expression of entreaty and profound pleading about something deplorable. As Moshe said, O honor, this people has sinned a great sin. Pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. King David, David Mel speaks in the name of the exiles of the future. Behold, this long exile of ours, ropes of death have encircled me. I have endured time and time again forced conversions, killings, expulsions, and plunders. Yet though I found trouble and sorrow, I would call upon the name of Hashem. I pleaded, I beseech you, O Hashem, rescue my soul. Do not cause me to perish in this gullus, this exile. For you, O Hashem, are merciful and favored with grace. Despite the rigors of Hashem's harsh punishment, our Hashem is a compassionate one. Some explain the present pasuk in the spirit of the following episode. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Pedas, suffered extreme deprivation. So Hashem said to him, will it please you if I destroy the world and then create it again? Perhaps you will then be born in the time of adequate nourishment. His reply was, is then such a thing possible? But even if so, it is doubtful that I will be born to riches. He then asked whether he had already lived the greater part of his life. Informed in the affirmative, he said, in that case, I do not wish it. That is what the Torah indicates here. Whenever I suffered privation, I loved that Hashem may hear my voice. But then, when he inclined his ear to me, I called upon him all my days. I asked whether I had already lived through the greater part of my years, or whether I will yet live even longer in the future. When informed that my past days were more numerous than the days ahead of me, and notwithstanding that the ropes of death encircle me, and the confines of the pit seize me, and on every side the times press down upon me, I braced myself with strength to bear more suffering. I would not rebel. Although I found trouble and sorrow, I will call upon the name of Hashem. The singer explains here why he does not ask for the wicked to be punished. Hashem favors with grace and is righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. He is forbearing towards the wicked. For this reason must I too cleave to these attributes of Hashem. Instead, I beseech you, Hashem, rescue my soul. Pasuk 5. Chanun Hashem v'tzadik v'elokeinu merachem. Hashem favors with grace and is just righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. Hashem favors with grace and is just to His creatures. Our God is compassionate. He is especially compassionate towards us, for we are His people and He is our God. As it says, to be a God to you and to your seed after you. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Hashem is also abundant in loving kindness, in addition to the fact that He favors with grace and grants success, justice. Because He favors with grace and is just, yes, our God is compassionate. I would call to Him, as we learned in Pasuk 4. Favors with grace means that He bestows grace and gifts upon those who are not deserving. He is just, punishing those who afflict us. Our God is compassionate. Being our God, He is compassionate towards us. He does not repay us in accordance with our sins. The singer also strengthens the hearts of the Jewish people in exile, declaring, "Even though you will not be worthy of it, you will be redeemed." He hastens the redemption due to the harshness of Golas exile. For Hashem favors with grace, he activates his attribute of compassion, relents, and hastens the deliverance. It's found in Yeshayahu. Another interpretation says, even when he deals with us by the attribute of law and judgment, justice, our Hashem is compassionate, for he does not stir up all his image. In the Tana de Eliyahu, it is taught that just as the great name of the Hashem will be blessed forever and to all eternity in all worlds, so his compassion towards Israel is found wherever they make their habitation. His compassion extends to all the deprived, the needy, and the poor, to the orphans at all times, and to the widows everywhere. Accordingly, one should likewise be compassionate. Pasuk 6. Shomer Pesorim Hashem Dalosi V'liyo Shia. Hashem protects the simple, I am brought low and impoverished, and he saves me. Hashem protects those who do not know to protect themselves. I am brought low, Dalosi, by illness to lie on my couch. Similarly, we find, why are you, the king's son, so wasted, Dal, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Shmuel. Base. He saves me, Hashem saves anyone who, like me, trusts in him. Hashem protects even the simple. He will thus also save me, even when I'm impoverished, lacking in good deeds. If I recognize that I'm impoverished and in need of saving, he saves me. Thus, our sages have taught, for you were fewest of all peoples. When Hashem grants you well-being, you keep yourself small and humble. For the same reason, mainly, the deliverance and rapid arrival of the Mashiach will come about when the generations are humble. Some read Dalosi V'li Yoshia as follows: the trouble that afflicts me will itself be my salvation, for suffering benefits the soul. Through my being brought low, he saves me. Hashem protests as well the simple who do not learn anything from suffering. The world follows its usual course, but he saves me. The sages teach, although I'm impoverished of mitzvahs, it is fitting that he should save me. I am brought so low that it is proper for my deliverance to take precedence over the deliverance of others who are not in such dire need of it. As the Torah says, speaking figuratively, behold the prayer of the destitute, and do not despise their prayer. I do not devise schemes to save myself, for Hashem protects the simple who do not know how to save themselves in cunning ways. I was certain that Hashem, who favors with grace and shows mercy, will save me. Pasuk 7. Shuvi nafshi nimnuchoichi ki Hashem gombal oloichi. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for Hashem has dealt bountifully with you. The singer declares, when in the past I faced many troubles, I would tell my soul, do not be upset and do not despair. Return, O my soul, to your rest. Go back to how you were at first. For already many times in the past, Hashem has dealt bountifully with you. He brought you out of an array of troubles and bestowed upon you any number of rewards. Some explain that David is saying, when I would find myself in trouble, I would turn to my soul and say to her, return, O my soul, to your rest. Return to Hashem, blessed be He, and He will provide for your repose. For Hashem has dealt bountifully with you. He dealt with you beneficently a number of times, and He will do so at this time as well. The singer also speaks the name of the Jewish people in exile. He says to them, O Israel, return to Hashem your God, Pasuk in Hosea. For if you will return, your deliverance is close to come. Pasuk found in Yeshayahu. He then goes on to bring proof by referring to what happened at the exodus from the Egyptian exile. Hashem has dealt bountifully with you. When the Egyptians issued harsh decrees, you rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Therefore now too I will trust in you. I will walk before Hashem in the lands of the living, namely the land of Israel. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of the Talmud regarding the Pasuk, why then does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins, a Pasuk that's found in Sefer Megillas Eicha. That is to say, it is enough that you have given man life. Rashi explains, why does a man complain about all the events that come upon him? Consider the loving kindness that I bestow upon him. I have given him life, and I did not bring death upon him. Did he then overcome his sins? Did he not sin against me? He lives by my righteousness. That is the intent of the pasuk.